Welcome to this podcast about wholehearted teaching. I'm Linda Ganstrom. I'm a professor of art and design at Fort Hays State University. And as a lifelong learner, I love teaching as a way of learning and have tried to develop methods and just really learn from other people about how to make teaching and learning more egalitarian. I like the flipped classroom. I like experiential learning. And so wholehearted or empathetic teaching is such a good fit. Jamie Bates Sloan is my interviewee today, and I've learned so much from her just in our conversations and in preparing for the podcast. So I'm going to have Jamie introduce herself.
Hi, everybody. My name is Jamie Bates Sloan. I am the assistant professor of ceramics at the University of Oklahoma. I started my position about three years ago. So this is going into my fourth year. So I am fairly new to teaching in a full-time capacity, but I taught a lot of adjunct and part-time positions for about 6 years. So a lot of that experience in teaching comes from teaching a wide variety of students in a wide variety of spaces. So I have a lot of empathy for students of all kinds, and I think that's kind of where a lot of my teaching comes from.
I think it does as well. So it definitely comes from your heart, and you have a lot of courage in teaching in a new way that maybe in the past people had kind of been a little bit more judgmental and said, well, is it as rigorous? You know, are you meeting all of the points on the syllabus? And I think that we've learned a lot in the last couple of years about what real learning is and how maybe it's not always just following all those rules. So I think you're an expert at that, at being a pioneer and paving your own way. So our topic today is to talk about building a sense of purpose in our own lives and in the lives of our students, and then also trying to achieve balance. So let's start off by talking a little bit about purpose and kind of your general philosophy of teaching and how you organize your classroom and work with your students to help them to develop their own sense of purpose, one that's not so rigidly defined maybe by the syllabus or curriculum or other people's expectations.
Yeah, I think replacing the word purpose with voice and within my classroom is probably the best way to describe like how I achieve that within my classroom. So it's more thinking about, rather than purpose, it's like, what is the student's voice within their work? And that's kind of what I'm searching for. I'm not trying to make them make carbon copies of my work or carbon copies of another person's work. So in the classroom, when I'm giving prompts, it's very much about like a conceptual basis with some light construction parameters, I guess you could say. it's very open-ended, but it allows the student to really think about what's important to them in regards to their life and their work.
Can you explain a little bit about how you work with grading and how you organize your the semester so that the students get feedback that's valuable to them and also is not so stressful?
Yeah, so my students start out the semester, every student starts out the semester with an A. I tell them that from the get-go. It's theirs to lose. So it's not so much that they're earning something from me, right? It's really their responsibility to kind of hold on to that A and to kind of like cherish that A and like baby that A, right? So it kind of teaches them to manage that, like manage a responsibility, right? And then the way I structure my course throughout the semester, I'm not really a hard deadlines person. I've always been this way because ceramics, we have to kind of be flexible. And that's the medium kind of dictating like how I run my classroom. But I also find that like introducing projects and periodically and kind of letting them kind of figure out how to manage their own time. I don't do this with my beginning students, but I do this with my intermediate students. I like let them baby steps into like learning how to manage their own time and orchestrate a semester. So they kind of have to figure out how, specifically in ceramics, like there's drying time for one piece, there's time where a piece is firing so you can work on something else. So it's really important within our field to learn how to like you know, when something is doing something else, that you are able to like manage that and orchestrate that kind of circus, you know, that we kind of work in.
That's definitely true. So they're learning to kind of come up with their own ideas and think about what they're passionate about creating. And that's where voice comes in. But then they have to adjust that to materials and processes and think about how they can manage their time so everything is finished by the end of the semester.
Yeah, it's very much like learning by doing. That's how I learn. And I learn by messing it up a couple times. Like failure is an opportunity to learn always. I think from some of my biggest failures, some of like my most exciting ideas have come from those things. I always talk about, specifically in my artist talk too, it's like I had a glaze disaster that led to a whole body of work. So that was a big mistake that led to something, a new discovery within my work. So I try not to like shame students into, you know, like if they do something like that messes up a kiln, you know, don't shame them into being scared to never doing that process again. Just tell them this is a learning, you know, process. Now you know what went wrong, and now you know how to, you know, prevent that from happening in the future.
I think that's something you talked about before that I thought was very interesting and has really made me conscious of how I would use examples so that if a student does something where there is a learning experience that you can share with the other students, how can you do that without shaming the person who has just had this learning experience that others might see as a mistake or they feel stressful if it's pointed out? But how can you create that learning environment where people build and learn from each other and the students as learners become teachers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then that like that snowballs into the students taking ownership over the classroom and like allowing students to teach each other. If I ever see an opportunity for a student that asks a question and says, you know, like, and then maybe like a day or two before, even like just a few hours before, I had another student that asked the same question or had the same issue, I can bring them over and say, hey, how about you just show them what you just learned, right? And that way it gives them an opportunity to reiterate and solidify that information in their own brain by teaching, but they're also like, you know, it gives a sense of community within the studio. And that's super important in ceramics because we're always relying on each other to work, to move heavy things, to ask questions, to orchestrate firings. We're always working together, so it just, you know, creates even more, you know, chemistry in the classroom and more openness and good energy.
So I think that is one of the things about maybe art in general is that there's a lot of group activities and that mm-hmm. the students have the opportunity to visit with each other, share ideas, maybe ask each other questions, and they start to give advice and start to build their own self-confidence and being a part of a learning community is really what it is.
Absolutely. So
what does the end of your semester look like?
So good question, because we're there. Okay. Actually it was just on Tuesday. So that was our last day for working in any kind of wet clay. So at this point, specifically with my beginning classes, there's not a lot of ownership over getting that work finished, right? It's like they get the clay, wet clay finished by that day. I'm responsible for firing all the work because they're still beginners. And then they're glazing for the next 2 weeks, right? But my intermediate students, it gets a little trickier because they have to, they're required to fire their own work at this point. So it's a lot of orchestrating and a lot of dancing around different students. We have another advanced class too, and our studio is very busy right now. So it's very, it's a lot of, you know, putting out fires, not literally, luckily, putting out fires, making sure everybody's happy and has a kiln scheduled. And we're working on like how to schedule those things, you know, within our community, like studio, because we're growing at like a rate that we're not really you know, comfortable with at this point. It's like, oh no, like all these students are busy and doing things and we're not quite keeping up on the organizational aspect of it. So yeah, it's a really interesting semester, but I will say, like, in the end, we end everything with a big class discussion. I try to make it worth their time of coming for that final. I know that sounds like I'm trying to coax them in, but like I'm saying, like, let's have like a potluck. Like, I know it's going to be 8 a.m. We probably probably won't be doing that this semester because of COVID. But maybe we'll bring in some like donuts and coffee, at least something to like make perk everybody up at 8 a.m. And then we just have discussion. I don't call critique anymore because it has a negative connotation. And I think that like students pick up on that. They hear the word critique and they start like shaking in their bones. You know, it feels like I'm gonna judgment. Like that's what they're getting up there for, is for judgment. And that's not what I want them to feel. Like, we're here just to tell them what's working and what's not. And share tips and ideas. And I think that like discussion is the best place for students to share what worked for them and what, you know, might work for another student. So really opening up that opportunity for conversation and being cognizant as the teacher myself to not say everything first. So I always lay back and make sure that they have full reign over the conversation before I dive in with any information or any kind of feedback I have for the students' work.
Yeah, I totally agree with that too. And a lot of times I've noticed that my students will talk to each other more honestly if it's just a group, a very small group, like two or three people, and short pointed conversations seem to be, well, especially if they have a topic, it seems to be very relevant at that point. So they might talk about what they learned as technical or conceptual, or what they learned about themselves. And I think that really gets to the core of purpose too, is that they're learning about themselves and then thinking about what they want to communicate with other people. And that does build community. So those two words, community and communication, are so closely intertwined that at the end of the semester, they've built up a rapport, they have a sense of trust and confidence with themselves, but also with the teacher, knowing that the teacher is a facilitator rather than sort of this person at the top of the pyramid, but that we're all in it together. So I think that that's a wonderful explanation of what the end of the semester looks like. So it's lots of communication with how things are managed and how people are going to work with deadlines so that they're not so stressed at the end. But then those conversations that are so valuable help people reflect on what they've learned and then share that with each other. So those seem like really important learning activities that are going to happen in the next few weeks.
Yeah.
One of the things that's so difficult this time of year is to maintain balance. I don't know if your students look like this, but I'll have students coming in saying, oh, I stayed up all night, or I haven't had any sleep for the last 3 days, or I'm not eating very well, or I'm just so tired and stressed out. So how do you help your students, or what are some strategies that you use to maintain balance in your life?
I think the first thing is trying to model it. And I say trying with like a very, you know, it's like, I am always trying. I will admit that being a product of the Midwest and being a millennial, I have a hard time turning it off, the work mode off. So I feel like the best thing I can do with my students is be really honest about that. Like, I'm working on that too, but I do remind them. I was like, sleep is absolutely the 100% most important thing for me. If I don't get it, if I don't get my, you know, 8 hours of sleep a night, then I can't function throughout a day. And I think as they get older, they'll realize that, because it changes a lot. But yeah, when I have a student that comes up to me and is bragging about the fact that they've only had, you know, 4 hours of sleep, and I'm like, that's not something to brag about. Mm-hmm. And I see that that's cultivated in other areas in my department. And that really, you know, hurts my heart, because it really goes against everything that like I'm trying to instill in our students. But yeah, it's interesting to think about like how you model that balance in your life too, like how you show your students how you're doing, creating that in your life, and then they in turn do that as well. So yeah, I think that's the trickiest part for me, because I'm still working on that myself.
I think that's very
part, though, that's like what I'm always telling them, like, at least get your sleep and feed yourself. Like those are the two things. I think at this point too, like in their lives, like there's nothing really, they're so self-centered, right? So balance, like worrying about their family life or their significant other and finding balance outside of themselves isn't probably all that important. But like where in my life, like it's important for me to find balance and find time for my loved ones and the other people in my life and not just myself. So I think there's that too. It's like balance is going to be very different, you know, for me versus my students. But I think it's just, you know, finding a space where you don't feel burnt out, stopping before you feel like you're on empty, you know, slow down when you're on a quarter of a tank and like take a break, you know? I think that's what's really important. And I'm learning that. And I think the fact that I'm learning that now and trying to model that in my classroom probably makes it, I don't know, even more aware in my students, because I'm constantly talking about it.
I think one of the things that gives me balance or helps me recharge my batteries is to spend time in nature. So I know that you love plants as well. So bringing green things in or getting out and being involved in the world, I think is important. So do you encourage students to do those kind of activities as part of their art making or balance?
Yeah, actually what's interesting is like, now that I think about it, sometimes those kind of ideas are incorporated into my projects. And so I'm thinking about like one of my projects, it's like, I ask my students to think about something that's incredibly important to them that they're passionate about. And I tell them that doesn't necessarily have to be, doesn't have to be something like incredibly political. It could be something silly that you're passionate about, but something that you love, right? That like you, that really gets you, like gets your blood boiling, gets you motivated. And so I think that like encourages them to think about things outside of their artwork, right? And I'm always encouraging them. And I think this is because I find my identity through my work, right? It's kind of like I explore those things kind of simultaneously. So I'm always encouraging them to kind of like, you know, like, what is it that like really like gets you excited about life? Like what gets your goat? Like what, when you read about it, like you want to read more, like, you know, like something that keeps you really interested. And I think as long as they've got that, they're gonna continue to just, you know, take off. I think once people find that sweet spot, you know, there's no turning back. Yeah.
I think that is an important part of purpose, is thinking about what you really are fascinated by. Mm-hmm. And not expecting other people to motivate you, but finding that internal motivation. Something that you're passionate about, finding a community of people that are passionate about it as well, and then sharing your ideas and sort of building together more knowledge, more information, and new ways of looking at the topic. So all of this purpose and balance that kind of blend together in such a way that if you are finding purpose in your life and you're developing balance, you will be much more well-rounded, you should be more positive in your outlook on things, and that you can keep things more in perspective, maybe avoid some of the anxiety and stress that happens if you have poor time management and you get to that point where you feel like you can't sleep or you can't, you know, take time for a walk or exercise or find those things that give you joy and bring balance into your life. Thank you so much, Jamie. I think I learned a lot about balance and purpose, and I'm looking forward to seeing how the end of the semester works with the students sharing what they've learned and all the things that they've accomplished with each other. So do you have any final things you want to say?
I would just say I think it's important to remember that we're always working on these things. I mean, we've talked about this, I think, in all the podcasts, you know, that this is a constant, like, growing and learning phase. And what's really lovely is, like, we have such a diverse group of women through, you know, of various ages. So it's really lovely to see, like, how we're all, like, navigating this and how we're all working through this. So working on this whole project has been really encouraging.
It has been. It's been really exciting, I think, to think about empathetic teaching, being aware of what the students want to learn, and then helping them learn the things that they need. But also thinking about them as individuals and realizing that it's the people that are really important, not so much that we're disseminating knowledge, but that we're using experience to help develop people in the ways that they want to grow and learn and move forward. I think that's really exciting. And I hope lots of people decide to think about empathetic teaching as a different technique, a new paradigm shift in a way of moving forward, building the future that will be a little bit more balanced, and people will have a sense of internalized purpose rather than expectations of other people. So thank you so much, Jamie. I hope you've all enjoyed the podcast, and here's to being wholehearted.